during my reflection on the story of the Magi and their great journey, I also reflected on the gifts, you know, that they presented to the infant king. And that led me to come up with this joke on collections. An old dollar bill and an even older $20 bill arrived at a Federal Reserve Bank to be retired. "I have had a pretty good life," the $20 bill said. "I have been to Las Vegas, the finest restaurants in New York, and even on a cruise to the Caribbean." "You did have an exciting life," said the dollar bill. "And where have you been yourself?" asked the $20 bill. "Oh, I have been to the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, stayed a while with the Lutherans, and then spent a long time in the Catholic Church, which was my last bus stop before retirement." "Wait," the $20 bill interrupts. "What's a church?" That was the joke. So, the Feast of Epiphany we celebrate today is the oldest feast in the church after Easter and Pentecost. It has been celebrated long before Christmas was, or rather it took the place of Christmas celebration for many years. The Feast of the Epiphany, which is from the Greek word for manifestation, celebrates the manifestation of God at the incarnation and all his other manifestations to us, which includes all those people who have touched our lives in every age. Every moment of grace can be called an epiphany. That is, moment of conversion, of new insight, of new stage of spiritual growth. As with all liturgical feasts, the Epiphany is wisdom teaching on how to recognize epiphanies in our own lives and in the lives of those we are called to help, such as parents, teachers, community leaders, spiritual guides, preachers, and so on. The purpose of the Feast of Epiphany is to praise God because Christ has made himself known to man for what he really is, that is, the Son of God and our Savior. On this feast, the Christians of the early church commemorated several manifestations of Jesus, such as his appearing on earth when he was born at Bethlehem, his making himself known to the wise men, his being made known to the crowd by the Father when he was baptized by John at River Jordan, and the manifestation of his power to the apostles when he changed water into wine at a marriage feast in Cana. It was an event which Christians of the early church celebrated with great enthusiasm, and there was a good reason for it. The wise men were the first non-Jews who believed in Christ, and the early Christians, most of whom had been pagans before, saw in the three wise men three of their own people. They praised God for having called not only Jews, but pagans as well to the faith. We too are non-Jews. It is true that either we ourselves or our ancestors came from paganism. Whether we were born of Christian parents and baptized soon after we were born, or received baptism later in life, all of us have good reasons to rejoice on this feast and to praise Christ for having made himself known to us, having called us to the faith. The journey of the Magi was bold, courageous, and imaginative. Yet to many, it must have appeared foolish, even a little crazy. It can't have been an easy journey. No doubt, they encountered many difficulties and new moments of doubt and danger. Yet, in spite of difficulties, doubts, and dangers, they persevered in their quest and were rewarded when they finally found the Christ child. Though the light of a star guided them, they did not know where the star would lead them. Hence, their journey was very much a journey of faith. And even when they saw the child, they still had to make an act of faith. Seeing is not necessarily believing. The journey of the Magi symbolizes our journey of faith, and it can serve as a model for that journey. Just as the Magi were guided by the light of a star, so we are guided by the light of faith. But unlike the three wise men who saw Jesus physically, our own journey goes through life when we will now see Jesus physically in his glorious form in heaven. But meanwhile, we have a lot of journey to make. Their journey was one of searching and questioning, of fear and of hope, of pain and of joy. The faith journey contains all of these elements. Another thing we can learn from the Magi is the fact that they did not travel alone. They traveled in a little community of three believers. In this way, they supported one another. We must not try to make the journey of faith alone. It is very, very impossible and very, very dangerous. We travel with our brothers and sisters in the Christian community and so are able to support one another by word and example. And see, that is why you see that the church, through her members, through people in different ministries, we are trying to create a community. It's all about creating that community because it's to make the journey easier for us. What is special about the wise men is the long journey they made to their epiphany. Their story invites us to celebrate our own journey or other people's journey of grace. We remember our first searching when we decided to change our ways amidst all the doubts, fears, and anxiety, and even deep hunger for clarity, and eventually have to resort to a religious center, a spiritual guide, religious community, or place of pilgrimage, and with their help, we find ourselves on the right path. It was the same with the wise men. In humility, they were open to learning from religious leaders, even though these had bad motives. Herod is typical of those in positions of authority and privilege who become insecure at the possibility of new ideas, including religious insights. He's also a symbol of darkness, of ignorance, of being closed within oneself. However, the faith, humility, openness, and sincerity of the Magi yielded good fruits. They eventually found the Christ child in Bethlehem. They were exceedingly glad when they found the Christ child and his mother, and they generously offered him their gifts, their most valuable treasures. Because when we do really discover Jesus, we want to empty ourselves to him in the form of service. We become more generous. We become more generous to a total self-sacrifice. The important lesson here for our time is that in the presence of Jesus, all cultures open their treasures to the universal church, which is an expression of our uniqueness. And like all people who have had a deep experience of God, the wise men return to their ordinary lives, but with a freedom they had never experienced before. Another lesson from all of this is that there comes a time in our lives when we finally discover what we want to give our whole lives to. After years of searching, it could be an involvement in a just cause, such as racial equality, community development, women's rights, a spirituality which combines union with God and social involvement. It could be the religious life or the Catholic priesthood, just as I did, I told you my story, or a life of contemplative prayer. So much to do. The feeling we get from this is like coming home at last, where we now open our treasures, offering them in service to the Christ child and enjoying our new found freedom.